Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now we're going to shift into a growing area of South Africa's economy, and that certainly has to be online gambling. We're going to give you some perspective now into the phenomenal growth that we continue to see primarily when it comes to online gambling and just how sustainable this will likely be going forward. My guest this evening joins us to help us dig deeper into the numbers, where sports betting in particular in South Africa reached 420 billion rand in 2023. Huge numbers. Nkwatse Mashamaite joins us now as the National Gambling Board's Chief Compliance Officer. Nkwatse, such a pleasure to have you. Welcome to Kaya Biz.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Excited to have you, and I know that this is going to be an intriguing conversation, not only to look into the numbers, but also to understand your position at the National Gambling Board around this theme. But I'm keen just to start off with your title, Chief Compliance Officer at the National Gambling Board. Help us understand, just in terms of compliance when it comes to gambling, what key themes need to be abided by?
So for purposes of compliance, there are pieces of legislation that governs gambling and all other related factors in South Africa that needs to be adhered to. First is the National Gambling Act, which is complemented by 9 provincial legislation that is designed also in line with the National Gambling Act. And anyone who doesn't operate in line with this legislation is actually acting illegally in South Africa. So basically, we have authorized 4 modes of gambling, and that is casinos, betting, limited payout machines, and bingo. And these are the activities that are permitted to be participated on, as long as the operator who offers it has a license to actually offer the activity. Without a license, the activity will be illegal.
Got you. So there are rules to the game. There are certain spaces in the game that people can operate in. And ultimately, everyone needs to oblige to the outcomes. Where does online fit in for the National Gambling Board? Is this an aspect or area that you look after at all?
We have not permitted online casino gambling and other modes. Actually, only activity that has been able to go online was betting. And betting, of course, is an activity where a person plays a bet and say the team so-and-so will win in this margin or anything, and then sit back, wait for the results. Casino games would be those where you play roulette and other tables game, but the game is actually triggered by participation of players. It is not a time bound or anything. People can stay for as long as they are there to gamble.
This might sound like a concern then for the National Gambling Board, because looking at the reports that we're referring to, there's been phenomenal growth in the online sports betting region in South Africa, and I guess overall as a sector contributing 420 billion last year, and online also playing a significant role there. Is this something that you have been evaluating as the National Gambling Board?
That is correct. If we look, the things actually, betting actually went skyrocketed after COVID-19 period, when the restrictions about lockdown were lifted up. Online betting took advantage of the non-existence of other modes, because casinos were restricted in terms of number of people allowed to enter at a time. They had to make space between the machines, but online had the privilege of not having to do the social distancing. And as a result, they took advantage of that. But what we have also noted is that they are no longer only offering betting activities. They are tapping into the casino space as well, disguising that as betting as well, but they are offering casino games, and that has actually caused them to move as higher as they are now. Because as we speak now, in terms of the turnover, betting accounts for 60% plus of the market share, and others are just sharing the remaining 50%. And before COVID, that the highest dominant was in casino space as well. And even in terms of provinces, Gauteng was dominating through the casinos in terms of revenue generation. But now the revenue generation domination is shifted to the two provinces who are dominating in the online offerings, which they actually offer countrywide.
And I'm keen to take a look at, you know, how this is influencing or impacting the scope and mandate that you look after as the National Gambling Board. How much of a challenge and a threat are the likes of Hollywood Bets, Kingmakers, Supersport Bets that dominate the sporting online betting environment?
Not the, because part of our mandate is to ensure that there is a revenue generation stream that actually assists the economy of the country and can see that growth. And also a system that will allow those historically disadvantaged people to actually participate in the activities as well. But we are really concerned because the offerings that they are providing actually cause people to spend more time online actually trying to get their luck. And as a result, the overstimulation of gambling has increased. And that basically means we also need to be worried that there can be addictions increase as well, where people are going to suffer socially, and the economy will also suffer because people will not pay the bonds that they've taken, loans that they've taken. Some would actually go and loan so that they can come and bet to try and recoup the losses that they have suffered. So it is bringing that balance of the money is coming, but we also concerned that we are going to see a rise in problem gambling.
And help us understand, how is the National Gambling Board, you typically address these concerns, and if your counterparts are doing the same, where are we falling short and how do we plug the gaps?
Okay, at the most, I think our focus currently, we are focusing on education and awareness. We are trying to increase the awareness on our ordinary people, mostly in rural areas, to ensure that they are aware of the dangers of gambling generally, and they gamble for leisure purposes instead of gambling to try and make profit from that. As we speak, my colleagues are in Polokwane. They were in Marble Hall this morning, educating the public as well. So they are continuing in Limpopo to try and get people aware. Others are issues of advocacy because they tap into the disagreement in terms of regulation. How should it be implemented? Because we are having 10 regulators in the country. Each province has a gambling board, and we are the national one, not as a big brother, but our role is to oversee that provinces follow the norms and standards that the National Gambling Act has set out. And that's basically what we are doing at the moment. And we also believe that it will assist so that everybody who's offering this, those modes, the four modes that I've mentioned, everyone should participate within their space.
And what I'm intrigued by, perhaps just to sidestep for a moment for the interest of myself and as well as the listeners, given that you cover the national scope, what are we seeing in terms of provincial nuances? In other words, which province has the highest number of gamblers? What kind of gambling is very popular in certain sectors and spaces of
when you say that the highest number of gamblers, it would be in terms of the people who are participating. According to the prevalence survey that we conducted, we found that KwaZulu-Natal is dominating. Around 79% of their people are admitting to be gambling on the survey sample that we have conducted. And I think others were at around 40%. But, you know, one thing that is very interesting in terms of that is the fact that when we look at the market share and revenue generation, we see that there was a decline in the KwaZulu-Natal province. So they didn't make much, but their people are gambling more. And okay. this is the problem also that comes with online, because now an operator who's licensed in another province is able to offer their activity in any province. And as a result, they don't make the money, but they have to shoulder the troubles that comes with gambling. Mm-hmm. Because as the number of people increase in gambling, we also should expect the spike in numbers of problem gamblers. That's basically what we will actually see.
And I'm assuming someone might also say, well, it almost sounds counterintuitive for your organization to monitor and take care of gambling nationally and at a provincial level, but also provide the necessary interventions to avoid addictions and you know, calamities. So help us understand what interventions are in place, but more so how they'll have to be heightened to make sure that South Africans are still cushioned from the risks of obsessive gambling.
Now, we increase that by a collaboration with other like-minded institutions like social development, because people often use their grants to participate in gambling. So partnering with these stakeholders increase the opportunity for people to learn about the dangers of gambling. And I should also mention that we've got a public-private partnership with the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation, which is an organization that is funded by the licensed gambling operators in South Africa. They contribute 0.1% of their gross gambling revenue that is derived from gambling. And with that money, the organization is able to offer free counseling, and they also create an ample awareness marketing around people being careful about gambling as well. So they offer that assistance, and they have a toll-free number and a please call me number or WhatsApp that people can use to try and access their services with little to no cost to them, so that they can reach this without any hindrance. They are available every time for anyone to reach them and get assisted.
And I guess that also speaks to what South Africans need to be mindful of, right? Managing the risks of gambling, taking care on how you monitor, perhaps even the spite of the growth of illegal trade and illegal gambling. Is that a factor that also falls under your mandate? And are we seeing that there's a number of illegal online gambling platforms?
It's also, and ethnically, it's also falling under my responsibility as well. The expertise we are developing together with the South African police units in their respective place to deal with cybercrime as well. So we are actually working tirelessly to try and deal with it. And some actually believe that if government can actually allow online gambling, maybe that will also minimize the participation. But the truth is, we should also discourage criminality. And we often go out to try and get, even to attach their devices, because sometimes we also battle the warrants are not executed properly and the cases are thrown out. So we keep on improving on our expertise to deal with those together with the police, because from our side, we can only identify that this is an illegal activity, and the police have the capacity to go and arrest and effect search warrants and everything. We are not able to deal with those, but we partner with them and we're working very well with them. We hope that this will also assist in terms of ensuring that the activities that pay tax are not burdened by the problems that emanate from the illegal operators, because the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation will also assist the people who get addicted from illegal gambling as well. And they cannot actually discriminate because people were gambling with an unlicensed person. But they must also know that when you gamble with an illegal operator, we will confiscate the winnings and you will not actually benefit. So you'd have lost. And when you win, you will also not get assisted, because we partner also with the payment agencies to ensure that these payments are detected and remitted to the National Gambling Board for further investigation.
And
we found that they were illegal.
I can imagine there'll be many consumers who'll be frustrated to say, what? My winnings are getting confiscated. Help us understand how we can actually identify illegal gambling platforms. Are there ways to evaluate? It's another layer of admin for South Africans, but are we easily duped by fake and false online gambling websites?
The operators are unscrupulous. They market themselves seriously in all platforms, and they are even trying to offer sponsorship to our sporting activities as well. In some instances, we have to go and speak to them to say, be mindful that these people are actually participating illegally in this country. But they are actually unscrupulous, and people would actually struggle to identify. But the least I can say is that all the licensed online operators will actually indicate which province jurisdiction licensed them, and they will also indicate their license number there at the bottom. And all the physical structures, they will display that license on the wall. So we see there is a lot of internet cafes around the shopping complexes. Those people are operating illegally because whatever they are offering is not sanctioned. The other danger to the public is that when this gambling is authorized, we are actually permitting activity and ensuring that the laboratories test those machines and the games, that they are not going to cheat on the participants. Mm-hmm. So that is basically what we are trying to do in South Africa. And people will actually be duped into those, and they end up participating illegally. But if you participate illegally, your winnings is most likely to be confiscated by the National Gambling Board, and we will actually take it. And unfortunately, you would have bet and lost, and when you win, you also don't get the benefit. And unfortunately, they are the easy target because these operators have their servers in European countries or islands there, and not in South Africa. So as a result, it is difficult for them to be detected. When you get into the internet cafe, they just switch off and you will not see anything related to gambling. And as a result, the evidence procurement is difficult for the purposes of court and conviction. And that's why, as a result, the punters, the gamblers themselves, are the ones who are more in danger of losing and even getting a criminal record more than these illegal people who are not even based in the country. But they don't pay tax. They don't even contribute towards the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation.
I think this is so important for people to remember, especially those who perhaps might have a knack for online gambling. Be mindful of the registration of the organization that you're with, and if it can tell you where it is licensed. But essentially, if it's a name, company or brand that you're not familiar with, do trade with caution. As you've heard, even your winnings can be confiscated. So in as much you put your confidence and your bets quite confidently, so you do need to make sure that you do so with a reputable organization. There's a tweet we have from one of our listeners, Muzi, here. And funny enough, it actually has to do a lot with this drive for responsible gambling by the National Gambling Board. And his question asks, when are they changing the tagline, "Winners know when to stop"? A layman might interpret the slogan as, if you win, stop playing, and if you lose, continue to play. Very naughty by the gambling board. That's where his question ends. But I think a very valid point that he's highlighting here, not only just in terms of your tagline, but how the messaging is communicated. There's a very thin line and a fine balance between someone knowing when to cut their losses, quite literally, and those who just might want to try a stroke of lady luck one more time.
Yeah, no, that is true. We have actually been, we are facing this as an unintended consequence. The purpose was to communicate a message that gamblers need to know that they can actually stop. But now it is interpreted to mean, if I don't win, I don't need to stop. So I can continue. Until I win, then I should know when to stop so that I don't lose my winnings. But the problem is that this is captured in the regulations, which is a secondary legislation. And we are actually hoping that soon the Mother Department will effect amendments that will actually communicate better. We think something like know when to stop
would actually communicate better for the Twitter person.
Got you. Yes, he's
just removing winners and just so you know when to stop.
Got you. That's from Muzi. I'm sharing some details there. Another question that's come through from Khalifang on Twitter. She says, Google, great show as usual. Ekasi, there is China operating for decades. Is there a way to regulate operations such as those? Very interesting question here, Nkwatsem. China has actually become a theme and a concept and a culture, Elokshin. Is this regulated at all? Is this a form of illegal gambling? And what's holding us back from clamping down on China?
Yeah, we have the National Lotteries Commission, which regulates the game of numbers. And China would fall under their jurisdiction. I think if you browse on their website, you will see that the YouTuber website, which is the current operator now, they do offer something close to that. Unfortunately, the one that is operating in the township, it will be very difficult to regulate in the manner and form that we regulate operators at the moment. Because in addition to just giving them licenses, we are certifying the games that they are going to offer to the public. And after certifying, we also have to monitor that they have generated this particular revenue so that we can calculate our taxes to the government. It will be difficult to do that with the guy in the bike with a bulletproof windscreen. We will actually depend on their honesty, and at the moment they are operating illegally and not as honest as they should be. The only challenge is we only need to chase that buggy every time we see it, and try to deter them from operating in the area. I think Limpopo has done a very good job in terms of dealing with that, although it's still there in some areas, but they have actually worked very hard to try and get them off the streets.
Some
and
lessons we should learn from.
That's what we can do at the moment.
Got you. Lessons we can learn there from Limpopo. Quick one that perhaps many South Africans might not be familiar with: the difference between lottery, the game of numbers, as you said, as well as gambling, and the reason why we have two different boards responsible for these outcomes. Help us understand why the differentiation matters.
It was just a decision made when regulation of gambling was considered in the country. Before 1994, South Africa only permitted gambling on betting on horses, and there was nothing. And I say South Africa deliberately. You will actually be aware that we had casinos in the homelands, those countries that were created by the apartheid government. So the carousel, the sun cities, were actually predates 1994. They were established before under the homeland system. They were not permitted in South Africa. So the reincorporation, when South Africa came, they actually conducted a study, and the resolution was that let's regulate gambling and the lottery games, let's regulate them separately, although they are actually gambling, but it is for the purpose of generating revenue so government can have control, direct control. It is to generate revenue for charity and good cause organizations. So recently we saw they assisted the Olympics team with funds. This is exactly why we separated them. We actually removed private interest more and left the government to ensure that they generate something. So the operator who is getting licensed will guarantee a certain portion for purposes of funding good cause organizations, and that's how they get their license.
Got you. Such an intriguing conversation. Go ahead.
All gambling modes will be operated privately, and they generate revenue for private investors, and that's the difference.
Mashamite, there's so much more to discuss here, and I think you've actually taught us a thing or two. Not only the rising threat of online gambling, and I use the word threat, but really it's also an opportunity, right? That's how the world of capitalism works. But I guess a threat to the concerns that you've raised and a threat to your organization, but many other themes that you've also enlightened us on in terms of understanding just not only the phenomenal growth we've seen in the sector, but consequences we need to be mindful of, especially when it comes to managing the legalities and compliance thereof. So yes, we can play by the still need to make sure that we play within the rules. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir.
I can actually conclude by sharing the numbers of the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation.
Please do.
Just so people are aware of.
Yes, please.
Yeah, there is the first one is the toll-free number 0800-006-008. And then the WhatsApp number where the SMS can be sent for, please call me, 076-675-0710. 076-675-0710. These people offer treatment. They can do it on the phone. They can actually make an appointment with you at an institution where one is admitted and try to treat you there, because this is a health problem, not only a mental state.
Definitely, it's a health problem and not only a mental state. And it really affects all in terms of their family and societal impacts there. I'm going to repeat that number again.
Even family members can actually call to try and get assisted. Because in terms of our legislation, that provision has not yet been brought into operation. We are actually having a system that people can call and request to be excluded from gambling. And then we will have a national register which will communicate with all gambling licensees in the country. And then when you try to enter, they will identify you. At the moment, it is applied informally by the operators themselves.
Uh-huh.
But it's one of those, if you manage to trick the system and they don't notice you, you gamble, the winning can also be confiscated, because you are not supposed to gamble.
Who
can actually get that assistance of excluding themselves from gambling. And in the modern way, their loyalty cards will actually be disconnected and they will not be able to gamble with them. And if you are online, your online account can be disabled. But in the physical structures, they always have security guards next to the gambling floor. And then you cannot enter or pass a mark there in the casino. And then they will spot you and turn you back. But unfortunately, sometimes you do miss that and you cannot have recourse anywhere because you are trespassing if you manage to beat that system.
There is so much to it. And I realize these solutions also have harsh consequences, but are also difficult to implement, right? Because for anyone who's addicted to anything, you find a loophole in the system to make it work for you. So it does seem as though we need to find that balance to make sure that we can improve compliance. So really shows how difficult a job you have, sir. But we appreciate and respect the efforts that you continue to put in with your team. We'll have you back on the show very soon in November, just to talk about some of the trends we see at the festive season and the end of the year.
I'll appreciate. Thank you to you and your listeners.
Thank you. That is Tekeng Kwatso Maishamaite, who is National Gambling Board's Chief Compliance Officer. Just when you thought it's all about the rising trend of online sports betting, and sports betting overall contributing at least 420 billion rand in terms of the amounts that were wagered and traded in 2023, really does speak to so many other aspects we need to be mindful of. The regulations to make sure that, number one, the organizations are legally allowing you to bet, the payouts are managed adequately, the financial rehabilitation, support, psychological and mental health of gamblers and bettors needs to be prioritized. Then we also have the legacy of old school betting cultures in South Africa that still exist, such as umchayina. There is a lot. I think we need to dig deeper into the business of betting. It's 7:30 though. You listen.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.